Welcome back, everybody, to the Cave of Solitude, your pop culture and comic book podcast, coming to you from an undisclosed location, not in the mega city metropolis of Toronto. We are back to the beach with my lady Jay. Oh, sorry, I introduced you. I'm not supposed to. Everyone's favorite podcast host, the princess of podcasting, the one and only, the amazing. Stand up and state your name.
This is Lady J, yo.
There you go. I get excited when you're on the show, even though you've been on most of our episodes. So I'm quick to introduce you now, but it should be always you introducing yourself.
Is it really? Is that really a rule?
I think so. I like hearing the other person say who it is.
I also don't mind you saying it and me saying thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. I'm happy to be here. Yeah, that kind of thing.
So, for today's episode, 125, this has been three podcast attempts in a row. Can I just say, one of my biggest pet peeves, because whenever people say, what's a pet peeve? At that moment in time, I can't think of what a pet peeve is. I always remember my pet peeve when it happens. But I know now, for certain, one of my biggest pet peeves is having a podcast episode be botched. For some reason, when you've spent an hour and a half, good conversation, either with somebody from an outside source or with you, and it doesn't work out well. Recently, I did a really good episode with, I think, a really good episode. And I don't say that
about everybody.
No, not ones that I feel good because the other person's on it, right? Not because of me, but I had a really good episode that I enjoyed with Adam Chapman from Comic Shenanigans. We recorded it over the phone, and when I went to listen to it back, I don't know, somewhere the connection was, like, I couldn't hear him. And I gotta tell you, it didn't sit well with me for about a week. And I say that to say this. We've tried to record. We've begun. I didn't press the record button. We recorded. Wind damage. How is it sounding right now for you?
It's good.
It's good. You hear the crashing of the wave?
It's a good sound.
All right, that's good. So for episode 25, we are going to do a little bit of a summer recap thus far. We're still in the early days of summer, which is nice. We're enjoying the wonderful weather. And a lot of stuff is going on. There's World Cup tournaments. There's movies that are coming out. There's...
It's a busy summer.
It's a busy summer, and there's more to come. So, we're going to talk about The Incredibles 2 movie as much as we feel. We can't recreate magic. You can't. But we're going to try to give our review. This might be a condensed episode. And we're also going to talk about a little bit of the World Cup to start again.
Third time's a charm.
Oh, sheesh. Driving me nuts. So if this episode, we're going to do our best because I brought Daph J with me. Whenever Daph J's with me, the episode can't be boring, I think.
You think.
I think. And I think other people think. I think I can be boring, but whenever you're here, there's always something unfiltered, unrehearsed that brings magic to the show, in my opinion. So we are currently...
Whoa, that's like a green butterfly.
It's something, yeah.
It looked like a leaf.
It did. It was different. Definitely different. It's distracting everybody walking by. It's really funny.
It's nature at its best.
Yeah. So we are on the cusp. I've been saying cusp a lot lately. On the cusp of the semifinals for the 2018 World Cup. You are a rabid World Cup soccer fan. I think if we had access to watching soccer year-round, you would be worse than like a guy watching football. American football. How have you been enjoying this World Cup this year?
I've been enjoying.
That's it.
That's all.
Are you disappointed? Are you impressed? Has it been?
It's been a very unpredictable World Cup, which is why I think, although my team didn't make it through, I'm not one of those where like, oh, I'm not gonna watch it because my peoples ain't in it kind of thing. I do like watching the sport, and if the current teams, I like that they're performing at a state that, you know what, they're showing why they're here, and I appreciate that.
Who is your team? Your peoples.
I like the España.
You have to say España.
I do have to say España.
Does it frustrate you, being a person who grew up speaking Spanish, to have gone to Spain to hear everybody speak with a lisp?
Yeah.
It drove me nuts when we were there.
Yeah, I thought when we went to Spain that time, I thought it was going to be like a romanticized type. Not that I'm like, oh, I want to, you know. I thought I was going to be like, oh, this is like the legit Spanish. You right. know what I mean? I'm going to, like, I know there's Latin American and there's Central American type of dialect and stuff. But I'm like, oh, this is where it came from. So let me hear how it really, like, how is it supposed to be said? Or how is it? It was terrible.
Yeah, I mean, I heard someone...
It's rough. It's like cutting, like, it's not smooth at all. Like, there was no fluidity to the language itself. I find that, and I'm probably biased, but I found that South American, even more so than Central, South American Spanish is a little bit more, like, smooth, you know?
Smooth with a V.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As opposed to in Spain, it was very like ta 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 ta. It was like chopping. Yeah. It was like a bunch of Yorkies just chip chop. Like it was annoying the heck out of me. It was not nice.
Maybe this is. Look, when I think of women speaking Spanish, or even from a woman's perspective, not that I have one, but Spanish is romantic. It's sexy. Right? Like, it should sound like...
It should be.
Am I right? Am I wrong for saying that? Like, that expectation to, like...
Look, it's like, again, sorry to all the people. This is just an opinion. Doesn't make me right, but...
This tangent from soccer to Spanish. I love it. It's so good.
No, I feel
yeah.
that there's a difference between, like, Parisian French, like, the French from France, and then, like, French Canadian.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm not saying one is better than the other. I'm gonna be very careful with what I say here. But I do think there is a differentiation right. between the two, and I think there is a difference between the Spanish from Spain and then the Spanish from Latin American countries. And I find it, of course, I'm biased because that's where my family's from. But I do find that it's a little bit more. It's just a little bit nicer. I like the sound of it. And I was expecting that and more from when we went to Spain, and I was thoroughly disappointed.
They said the name David with a lisp.
David.
David. I was like, what's that? And I thought maybe the guy's name was Davis, but no, it was David. And they said Madrid. I was like, ugh.
And they didn't do that.
Might as well. Okay, so getting back to soccer. You said you cheer for Spain, but your family's from South America. What makes you cheer for Spain instead of a South American country? Because I know the country your family's from wasn't represented in this year's World Cup, but you are a follower. You've always been, since I've watched soccer with you, since we've been married.
Since before that. We were dating.
No, but you weren't cheering for Spain back then. I'm saying since we've been watching soccer in tournaments.
Oh, I thought you were talking about like, since when I was watching soccer.
You've always been a soccer fan. I know that. But you were a Spain fan for a long time. Why? Is it because they were on a winning streak? That you were a bandwagon jumper? What was it for you that made you become like a supporter of that? Because it's not nationalistic.
No, I'm not a fan necessarily of the nation itself. I'm a fan of the sport.
Mm-hmm.
So I like the style of play.
Okay.
I like the skill of the players that were in at the team at the time. I'm about the art of the sport, and that's why this World Cup has been enjoyable to me because. And I wasn't, again, one of those that, oh, I'm only going to watch the matches with my team in it. I would watch all of them because I want to see what these other teams have to offer. And I can't be but amazed at some of the things that I've been seeing. Unbelievable matches.
Yeah.
Blowing my mind. It's been amazing. And it really, I find that it's a beautiful sport. And I just enjoy watching it.
So, hindsight being 2020, nobody will buy the answers that we give now, especially if they are like convenient. But did you have a favorite going into the tournament of who you thought would take the whole tournament?
Look, I wanted Spain to take it because that was my team. However, I wanted Messi. I think he's a great player, and I know that's something that he doesn't have the World Cup, and I wanted him to have that, especially because there's a big talk about him being his age, and this is going to be his last opportunity,
right.
and I think he had a lot of pressure on his on him.
Right.
You know what I mean? The team only qualified because of him, and they actually knocked out Ecuador to make it in.
Right.
But I was kind of like, you know what? Let him have this. And it was just unfortunate that the team couldn't keep up with... He didn't fail the team. I think the team failed him, which was a shame. But I wanted it for him, not necessarily for the team. If we're talking about teams, I wanted it for Spain. And then if not Spain, I just want the team that deserves it,
right,
is the one I think that should get it.
Do you find that you're partial to cheering for teams that speak of the Spanish?
I think it's easy to say that, okay, to conclude that.
Okay.
But I found, though, throughout the tournament, that it was a lot of the Spanish-speaking countries where people were kind of, like, surprised. Like, Mexico, I think, did very well.
Yeah. I think the Brazilian wall, like they usually do, which is unfortunate, because I enjoyed watching them play. Yeah.
I think Peru even did quite well when they went up against certain teams. Like, I'm like, you know what? They have skill and possession, and they're showing why they're there. It just so happened that the underdog is kind of what I end up going for.
Okay.
Naturally, without even like, it just so happens that they're a Latin American team or whatever, right? But at the end of the day, I'm like, you know what? Good for them. And because people would have thought that they couldn't do it, and look at what they're doing. They're proving the world different. You know what I'm saying? And yeah. I like that.
What do you classify as an underdog in the sense of, because
they don't have the superstars, they don't have the money behind the club, that, you know what I mean? Like that, like everyone expects Portugal to be through, even though they've never done anything, they got it. You know
right.
what I mean?
Right.
You know, England, Germany, I mean, they were the champions last time, so there's an expectation that, oh, of course, they're the favorites. They're going to go through, no, hands down.
Right, right, right.
And
right.
No one would, like, thought Iceland. You know what I mean?
Yes.
But when you see them, who was it? They were against Argentina the first match?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Did you say Argentina?
I did say Argentina because you have a problem with me saying Argentina.
Mexico.
But
Uruguay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, they
yeah.
were impenetrable.
Right.
There was a wall that could not...
Do you
it
think
was
that's a testament to how good Iceland was? Because they didn't do as well against the other teams they played after Argentina? Or do you think it was Argentina?
I think they held their own as much as they could, though.
Yeah, yeah.
The little country that could.
Right, right, right.
That's what I'm saying. No one probably thought that they would get this far.
Yeah, it's true. I'm actually...
Or had gotten that far. That's...
Well, just to make it this level of the finals, to qualify.
Come
right?
On.
Yes, you're right.
Or even Japan. Did you see that game with Japan?
That was my favorite game so far.
Unbelievable.
And just right down to the wire, just the dramatics of it. I actually, I'm not very good at. I don't bet on sports at all. I'm not a betting man. But when the round of 16 was announced and all the brackets were filled and the way that they, the teams were potentially going to meet up, I picked Belgium and England in the finals. That hasn't happened yet. Still yet to be decided. But I feel that those were the... I could see it happening. And I'd be really excited this time around because I don't have a team this time around to cheer for. And it's been kind of fulfilling to be able to watch the World Cup this time around. You don't have the intensity of a fan sitting at the edge of your seat, biting your nails, and having that jubilation when your team actually wins or you see them advance. But what has been fun has been the just to be able to watch the game and enjoy them for the sake of the game. I always have a team that I cheer for, that I prefer to win.
Everybody does.
But I'm not
You're not invested.
I'm not like, oh, I can't watch this. This is horrible. I'm not screaming at the TV. which is kind of nice for a change. Because, you know, there are some teams this time around.
You're permitted to enjoy the game for what it is versus... Yeah.
Being so biased and partial. Because you got some favorites this year that aren't at the tournament. You got Netherlands, you got Italy. Trying to think of some other obvious ones that aren't there. But, you know, those are two standout countries that when they're not in a World Cup or a Euro Cup, you feel like there's definitely something missing. Because they're superstars on those sides that they make it to... They make games interesting. It's fun to see them win, fun to see them lose. So to not see them there is definitely... It's made the tournament have a different feel. And sometimes for the better. Mm-hmm. Sometimes because you see a lot of things like, whoa, I didn't expect this to happen. So we got Croatia and England on one side and Belgium and France on another side. Out of those four teams...
Belgium.
You're going all the way.
I'm going for Belgium.
Belgium, okay. So England has won a World Cup in like 66 and France has won a World Cup in 98. So they're... It's kind of cool to see your non-traditional... There's no Germany, there's no Brazil, there's no Italy, there's no, you know, multi-winner teams that are going to be there. And very likely there's going to be a new champion, which is cool. I'm picking Belgium.
Are you?
Yeah.
All right.
I like... You know what? I enjoy seeing a team play where... It's not that there's no flaw to their game, but when they do score, you see the team... do it. Everybody's involved.
Yeah, it's not a one-man show.
Yeah, you're not just waiting for that
like
one guy.
Like some people we know.
Biggest shocker? What's your biggest shocker?
How far are we going into the tournament? I cannot but tip my hat off to Japan. And I didn't think that was going to happen.
But see, this is the thing with Japan. They kind of got in there on like a
I know. They got in depending on the yellow cards. I get that. So... But the game, the way the match was laid out, that was at the edge of my seat.
Yeah. They should have won it.
They should have. But the way things transpired, it was unbelievable. That's like a TV made for movie. What is it called? Movie made for TV?
Made for TV. Yeah, made for
something
TV movie.
Like I don't know. Whatever. It was something that wasn't supposed to happen.
So made for TV movies aren't supposed to happen. When I saw that third goal from Belgium with the last like seconds on the clock, I literally got up and ran around the house out of excitement, out of disbelief that I just saw that. Because you felt like it was going to happen.
And all I did was just stare at the TV with my mouth open like, what
you
the
are the
hell
worst person
is happening?
To watch soccer with when the team scores because you are so excited that you're out of breath. And I just see your hands waving in the air. And
but I'm silent.
You're silent. And there was one game where I saw a tear come down your eye. I'm like, what happened? Did they score? And you're like, they scored. But when they don't score...
Oh, you hear me.
It's like, well, why do you make so much noise when they don't score? But when they actually put it in the net, it's silence. Like, church silence.
The emotions are backwards.
It's so funny. Because I was at one point getting like a drink in the kitchen, and I heard the commentators excited. A lot of times they get excited even when there's a miss.
Yeah.
But you weren't reacting. So I'm like, oh, I didn't miss anything. It was just a chance. Maybe it's going to be a corner kick. And I come into the room, and you're just looking at me like... disbelief, like it happened. I'm like, oh brother, you're the worst. So Sunday, July 15th, 11 o'clock finals, Belgium England is your guess.
Is my the
that's my guess
that's your guess
or do you see Belgium Croatia?
I prefer England having it over Croatia.
Is it because all the names end with an itch?
It's so annoying. I don't even know the difference anymore. Like, the announcer just say it's the other guy. Same guy. Same team. Same shirt.
It
same
drives
name.
Me crazy, too, when I'm listening
you
to
it.
You
know what it is on the TV? Because it's like...
It's constant.
It's too much. It's almost like having like a pee pop on a microphone. You know what I mean? It's just too hard. It's harsh.
It hits
and you. It's over and over again.
Right.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And then I start mimicking them with everybody.
And then that annoys me. Oh, my gosh.
Daphne Vich. Oh. Kobe Vich. Let's go get a drink of it.
Yeah.
And then I just hear, that's getting annoying. All right. So we'll put a pin in the soccer talk there. Maybe we'll do a World Cup finale episode where we, as we're watching the game at halftime.
Oh,
we'll
I can't even watch the game. Like, people have asked me to go to like a pub or a, I can't.
Not
I gotta watch the game on
not
my own.
During the while, not while they're playing, like halftime. We'll go over like what we'll do before the game analysis.
We'll see what mood I'm in.
Analysis,
we'll see who's winning,
and then
we'll see who has much ball, but who has the ball possession.
Well, that's the thing you're talking
shots
about.
Shots on goal. We'll see.
That's what you're talking
about. It all
about.
Depends on my mood, because sometimes I can be really, really, really.
But you don't really have any. You're not emotionally connected anymore to a team the way you were.
That doesn't mean I don't pay attention to the play.
I know. I know you.
Listen. I get invested in the state of things.
I love the fact that you are enjoying the World Cup so much, because that gives me an excuse to stay home and just watch soccer and drink beer.
Without guilt?
Yeah, because usually it's like the other way around, where it's like full Sunday of guys watching like American football, or it's a Stanley Cup playoffs. And
no, people have been inviting me out. I'm like, Eric, you can go. I'm staying home.
I'm like, Daph, what's happening on this day? You know, I'm watching soccer. But we got invited to this. We could go after. Okay, so let's, one more time, let's talk about The Incredibles 2. So I did not realize that it has been 14 years since the original Incredibles movie came out. So that's, what, 2004? That in itself, no pun intended, is incredible to think that 14 years later there's still people, you know, yearning to see a follow-up to this movie. Maybe some would say like that a window of opportunity has passed, but were you excited these last couple years wondering like, when are they gonna actually do this movie? When is that gonna return? Because there's been, you know, numerous Toy Stories, there's been numerous Cars, Monsters Inc. has had more than one film. Are there any other ones that I'm forgetting out of the Pixar family that have had sequels?
Probably.
It's only been one Bug's Life. What are some of your favorite Pixar movies? Since we're on the topic of Pixar.
I love, 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 love Monsters, Inc.
The original.
Yes.
Yeah.
I never even saw the prequel.
We did see it.
I don't remember seeing it.
We saw it at the Imagine Cinemas. It was cute, but we didn't, like, it wasn't memorable for me. That it kind of goes to show if you forget even watching it. Right.
I like the Bug's Life when it came out.
Oh yes, but
I thought it was an interesting take, and I remember, and I still feel this today, one of the worst insults, one of the worst insults in history. Okay, maybe not history, because based on some of the literature that I've read, there's been some pretty bad stuff. But one of the things that I'm like, ooh, that's dirty, was when Hopper, the grasshopper.
Okay.
The bad guy. The villain.
The villain.
In Bug's Life.
Yes.
Where he...
You're very good with the microphone positioning, like the back and forth. You're very swift with that. I'm impressed.
When he's, like, having a dialogue with the ant.
Right.
And he's basically saying, like, you're here to serve me. You're here to work for me.
Right.
You're only here because of I allow it.
Right.
And then he's like... It's just throwing shade, like, back and, like, just hard. And then he finally says, you're lower... No. What did he... Oh, hold on a second. He says, you're dirt. He's like, wait, you're lower than dirt. You're an ant. And I was like, ew. I was like, he did not just go there.
Hey, wait, your face right now makes it seem like someone just said it to someone.
No, because it is factual.
Yeah.
He's an ant, but ants are known, obviously, to,
yes,
you know,
yes,
go underground and do their whole colony thing underground. And it's like, that's dirty.
Yeah.
Because he took truth and he just turned it on him like that. And I'm like, oh, no. And he was doing it as he was like, he had his foot on it. Because the fear was that he would crush them.
Right.
Because ants, they crush, like, they get stepped on.
Right,
I feel
right.
so sad.
Don't get sad for the ants.
But, like, that's what he was always threatening to do, right? Like, he would, like, squish them and do all this stuff. But when he said that, I'm like, that's rude.
Yeah. That's dirty.
That's harsh.
I hope no one ever says that to me. You're an ant. Ooh. Yeah.
But see, like, it's not, it doesn't have the same effect on peoples as it does, like, in that moment to, like.
Yeah. In I was the context. Like, well,
yeah.
In the context.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, what were we talking about? Oh, yeah, I like
Pixar
that movie.
Movies.
I love Toy Story, the first one.
Yes.
That's the thing. I didn't feel that this Incredibles was necessary because I thought that the good one was just good enough. Like, it was that excellent. I wasn't like, oh, when are they going to do a next one? Apparently, you told me that there was a bit of a calling for it. There was people wanting a next one. And I'm like, the first one was so good just the way it was. If it ain't broke, don't fix.
I think that's the thing, right? Is that if it's so good and people are clamoring for it in this world of sequels and remakes, like, why not go back to the well of a superhero movie where we live in a world of, that's what everybody wants to watch. And I've said this to you before, I think, my opinion, and I've heard other people say, The Incredibles is the closest thing we're going to get to a proper Fantastic Four movie, or a good rendition of what the Fantastic Four could be, because it's modeled after that, right? The family structure, the powers within the team. Obviously, everybody's a little bit different, but you see the power set of the team is very similar to, you can stretch, you're super strong, you turn invisible, you're super fast. How do we combine our abilities to get the job done? And when you can do that in a creative way that is, nothing is forced, nothing is, everything was, the first Incredibles, it was like the perfect superhero story. So yeah, I wanted to see how they would continue that, because they leave it kind of like open where there's numerous adventures now the whole family could go on because they're a team, you know? So I was excited, but I didn't realize it was 14 years. Were you looking forward to going to catch this one, or were you like, I can wait?
I was more like, I can wait.
Yeah. Why? How come? Just like, I guess you said it. The first one was,
and then I think too, like, kids are out of school. So I'm like, damn.
When's a good time to go to the theater without all of the?
With all the hoopla.
Right.
That was a little bit of a deterrent to me. But, I mean, yeah. And then we saw it anyway.
So, we've had this conversation, obviously, before. But what did you have any sort of things that you wanted to see this time around that maybe wasn't in the last one? Like, I hope this happens, or I want to see what happens with the baby. That, how are they going to work that into the story? Because if I'm not mistaken, this movie takes place immediately, like, right after the last one ends.
Well, you're not mistaken, because that's how it starts.
I forgot, because I hadn't seen the original Incredibles in a while.
We own it, but yeah.
Yeah.
It's one of those ones, like, let's watch it, and then we remember how good it is.
Yeah, it's true. So what were you looking forward to seeing? With the fact that you were going to watch it.
And not knowing that it was going to take place right after, I thought there would be some kind of progression.
Okay.
But then when seeing the movie posters, I'm like, oh.
Everyone's the same age.
Yeah, they're still, the baby's still a baby.
Right.
Dash is still, you know, down there. So I figured, okay, all this time went by, what's happened? But I think the way they did it was very clever.
Right.
And seeing as how much time has gone by in the real world, for them to be able to seamlessly connect a movie from way back then to our world today with the technology and even verbiage, right? You got phones and stuff, or even like, we're going to spoil this, but even like in the fact that in the house that they were put up in, and the advancements, like in their furniture and their house and everything, was just so up to date.
Yeah.
And standardized.
Yeah.
I thought, I'm like, oh, this is a today movie.
Yes.
Like, even though the events that are happening are from the last thing we saw, we're using today's technology to continue the future storytelling.
Yeah. I agree.
I thought it was done without, I didn't even realize.
Yeah,
that was happening.
One of the things that I really like about the Incredibles world, the universe they inhabit, is that it's kind of ambiguous as to what year you're in, because you kind of have, it's kind of the same feeling I get from when we watch Batman the Animated Series, where you could be in the 40s or 50s in that noir. It doesn't feel noir in the Incredibles universe, but the cars and the way the buildings look, and sometimes how people dress. Like, there's certain aspects, like the architecture of the world kind of feels like it could be from a past era, but it's still very up to date very contemporary all at the same time, and I like that it leaves it, we're not, this story isn't taking place in the 50s, and we're trying to force today's technology that would take you out of it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't know. Do you find... I find the way the characters are designed to look... I know it's Pixar. I know it's Disney. But I feel like it borrows a lot from the Bruce Timm style of superheroes. Like Justice League, Superman, Adventures of Superman animated series, Batman animated series with like the way that the characters are shaped.
It's exaggerated a little bit.
But do you get what I'm trying to say? Like the way the world feels, just very... almost 4K Ultra HD to that effect. Do you see that or not really?
I see it individually in the characters, not so much the whole world that they're in.
Yeah. Well, because a lot of animators...
I mean, Mrs. Incredible's hips don't lie.
Right? Okay, can I ask you something? Is it just me, or is like she like, she's pretty sexy.
She's curvy.
She's curvy, right? Like I'm not. I asked other guys who took their kids to watch the movie, and I'm like, is it just me, or was like, Miss Incredible?
Kinda. What'd they say?
They're like, nah. Even my wife noticed that she had booty. I'm like, all right. Because I'm like, I'm watching this. It's animated, and you're not supposed to react that way. But it's like I haven't.
Yeah, but again, going back to what I said, I think it's an exaggerated feature, right? Like, okay, yeah, she got hips, but then Mr. Incredible's shoulders are way out there, and then did you see his feet in the little slippers?
Yeah.
Like, it was like, how is all that being held by those two things? I think it's done just to kind of create this idea of exaggeration and illusion, and, you know, it's fun. And you know what? As exaggerated as it is truth-telling. I mean, she did pop out three kids.
Yeah, for
sure. And one of them is kind of like, you know, still crawling.
Yes, it's
so true. She's going to have some curves on her.
Yeah, she's got, like, they really, they make her look nice. Yeah, I was going to say, do you remember as a kid watching those, they were always on tapes that you buy, like, the multi cartoon tapes, and they would have those Fleischer Studios Superman where it was like Superman in the 40s, hardly any talking. Do you remember those?
It's yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
The Mighty
yeah.
Mouse.
Yes, yes. I had one of those on VHS.
Yeah, so I find.
And there was that dude with the thing, like faster than the speeding bullet.
Yes.
Can out something a locomotive. Like it was that dude.
Yes, exactly. I feel that is the template for the best superhero animations after that, when they copy that format, which I think Batman the Animated Series borrowed heavily from, as well as the Superman, but this too feels like it, the way that the heads are shaped, the way the bodies are, the way the world is drawn, I feel like that model is still the template for successful superhero stories, and they definitely, I feel that influence in these, even though it's Pixar. The way, maybe I'm trying to think of like Woody from Toy Story or Buzz Lightyear. They're all kind of shaped the same, right?
Yeah.
The way they, okay.
Well, I think there was a differentiation between Woody, who was like flimsy and floppy, and then when Buzz Lightyear shows up, he has like the broad shoulders.
Yeah.
He looks like the hero.
Yes, yes, yes.
Like today's hero, as opposed to Woody was more like, you know, back then's hero.
Right, right. So that's my take of the aesthetic of the Incredibles that I really, really like.
Did I debunk what you were saying? No. Or was I on the same page?
No, you're on the same page. I'm more like, I don't know if I'm looking into it too much and trying to find that similarity or that connection when maybe that's just the Pixar style. I don't know. I don't want to try to reach for something that isn't there. The movie takes the opportunity to have social commentary, I find. You brought up some good points yourself. There's some heavy-handed things that it gets to, but what did you find in regards to, like, your experience with the social commentary? This kid keeps trying with that board, and he should just quit it. Because he just looked at his dad like, Dad, we've been doing this for 3 hours. I haven't moved once. He fell once, which was entertaining. Go ahead, sorry. We're people watching while we're talking.
in a nutshell, I'm just going to say the same things I liked about it was the same things I not disliked, but I was kind of hoping to move away from the heaviness of what I thought an animated movie would give me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I find that there's already a lot going on in my reality that is bombarded. Shocking.
We're bombarded with, like, constant.
Right. It's shocking. It's disturbing. It's illegal. it's unjust. And although superhero movies and the like, of course, touch on these certain topics, I was kind of banking on the fact that, you know what, I'm going to go to the movies, I'm going to watch a cartoon, I'm going to watch something lighthearted, and I'm going to escape. And I felt that this feature film did kind of, you know, pulled me back into the heaviness of what my world is right now. And I was kind of on the fence about it.
Yeah, I think it's very overt when the M.O. of the villain is made clear. The villain's name in this movie is Screenslaver. And
should we give the synopsis quick?
Yeah, let me get my Google. We don't gotta pause it.
Pause it.
Okay, so I got the plot here. I got the Wikipedia plot. I'm gonna try to condense it as much as I can because it gives you everything. So, like we said, it's 3 months after defeating Syndrome, who was the villain from the last movie. So the Incredibles are pursuing the Underminer, and although they unsuccessfully stop him from robbing the bank and escaping, they managed to stop his out-of-control drill from destroying Metroville City Hall with help from Frozone, which is Samuel L. Jackson. This time, though, the government is more concerned of all the collateral damage that's caused by the incident.
So basically, this is a animated Civil War Marvel.
So it has that sort of feel to it. So the government, it's a superhero relocation program that has kind of been protecting the superheroes who are now kind of in exile or in hiding because there's been that legislation saying that they're outlawed vigilantes, that they can no longer perform their superhero duties. But this time they're like, we're done with the financial assistant. The guy who's the head of the program, Rick Dickler, he retires and says, listen, this is the last time we can do this for you, and we're just going to have to part ways because we just can't keep up with when you guys show up and the collateral damage you cause. But then there's a superhero fan, Winston Dever, who owns a company named DevTech, the telecommunications corporation, and he has a sister named Evelyn. She's the genius inventor behind DevTech technology, and they propose a publicity stunt to regain the public support and trust in supers, where they're going to kind of stage a...
Basically, they're giving a bird's eye view of what a superhero actually has to do and why things transpire the way they do, and basically giving a proper justification and support from the public.
Right. And by doing this, the reason why the Parr family, which is the Incredibles' civilian last name, is because it gives the children potential freedom for when they grow up, if they ever want to use their powers, where they won't be in fear. They won't have to live in fear, which in itself is kind of a social commentary of the world we live in now, right? Like, we got to do something now for the kids so that they don't have to worry about their future. But they choose Helen, Elastigirl, to be their...
spokesperson.
Yeah, to spearhead the stunt. And what makes it interesting now is that in the last movie with Syndrome, Bob, or Mr. Incredible, was the one who got hired by... some underground company to put his superhero powers to the test so that they can test out tech, right? And he was bringing money and supporting the family, but he was, you know, the guy working away from home. This time around, it's role reversed. He's going to be stay-at-home dad. Did you like that, like the humor that comes along with that? What did you think of that aspect of the story?
I liked it if it was presented as humor, but I know that there was an undertone. There was, I believe there was something being said that, you know what, women's equality, the woman isn't just a stay-at-home housewife, they can be the provider. I do believe that there was a commentary on that. If it was just to be like, you know what, let's do it with Helen, like she's... let's just do it. Just because I think it would have been like, okay, that's all right.
But you think there's an agenda.
Yeah. And I was, and I don't know, maybe that's a good thing because maybe it's a way to reach the young public and kind of teach them from early ages to be like, you know what, the woman's role is not just in the home. They can do whatever they want. They can be more than just a housewife.
Yeah.
And maybe that's a good way to reach the masses. I wish things weren't always so heavy.
Okay, I'm going to put a challenge out to you. Maybe. You don't have to answer it now because I'm putting you on the spot. I just thought of it. Because I'm thinking about everything you're saying, and I totally understand the experience of, even here we gotta, I'm trying to just watch a Disney movie, but has there ever been a movie that didn't have that underhanded agenda that was, not underhanded, but an agenda?
I think maybe finish your question. You know what? No, I'm going to interrupt you just so I don't lose my train of thought. I think there's something in everything if we look for it.
Yeah, and I think things are there on purpose, too. Like, every story is commenting on an issue that we're dealing with in life because that's what makes it resonate with the viewer. I don't think you can just go out and do a even the stories that are like Zootopia or... I think all of them are having some sort of a commentary. And by doing so, it's, Inside Out, it had the commentary on the mental health of children and the emotions of growing up. It wasn't all just happy
endings.
But
don't you find that to be oversaturated? Like, are we always talking about something political, even in a world where we're supposed to be able to escape reality?
I think it's unavoidable. I think right from the very inception of superheroes, they were used as propaganda in war times. And I think, the X-Men were commentary on civil rights movement, and Spider-Man was...
I suppose you're right.
I think every single one was saying...
There's
no escaping it. I just think because we're so bombarded with everything in the media and on Facebook and on Instagram, like, you can't escape it at all. No matter which way you turn, now when you go to the movies, like, even here, it's a Facebook post, it feels like. Do you know what I mean? Because we've always kind of used storytelling and movies and literature to express or to help us learn morality or learn a lesson for us to change. But you felt that this was like boom, boom, boom. You couldn't, everywhere you turn.
This is what I saw. I saw the whole woman's rights thing kind of appear.
Okay.
The whole fact that, we need to do something for the next generation.
Okay.
All right, when Bob was saying to his wife, like, if we don't do this, like, our kids are not going to have the right to choose what they want to be. They're going to, they're going to have to hide who they really are. And I'm not saying that I dislike the movie. I just, like I said, I typically go to the movies to just separate myself from what's really happening, to get a break.
Right.
And the other thing I felt was, what was the other thing?
Well, then there's the commentary from the villain themselves where they talk about the usage of the synthetic world that we live in and how superheroes... Yes.
And that I felt was... I was like, that's actually interesting. Like, okay, I'm on that. Like, I was like, okay, because that is also undeniable. Like, we are kind of addicted to our devices. Like, there's nothing... We're so dependent, and we're tricked into thinking that, it's convenient, it's easier. But really and truly, we're just giving up information so freely without realizing the consequences to those actions.
Right.
Like, for example, yesterday, you and I had gone someplace, and we went to park the car. Now, the stupid thing wouldn't read my card, right?
Okay? Right.
Now, no, this is in my mind goes places because I read things, I watch things, and I'm like, this is going to happen. So the stupid thing's not reading my card, but now you have abilities to pay for parking using an app.
Right.
What does this app require? It requires your email information, and it requires you to build an account, and where it's going to ask you for your address, and it's also going to say, this is the code, where are you parking? So now they know where I am, knowing where I live, knowing that I'm not home.
Right.
So now I'm a target to whoever wants to, you know, break in, let's say. Like, right. My information now is out in the open, and I'm thinking, oh, this is so cool. It's so convenient. If I have to add on, I don't have to go back to the car. Isn't this so, you know, this, that, and the third. And then really and truly, all I did was just...
surveillance.
No one reads the terms of agreement.
True.
Just accept.
You're convinced that Terminator 2 will happen. The drones will take
those
over.
Okay, you know those drones that go around taking photos of, like, the bird's eye view?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm guaranteed in a couple of years they're going to use that to find people and shoot them on sight.
Well, that's what Captain America 2 was about, right? Winter Soldier was exactly
there
about
that. That's it.
So...
I know I went on a tangent a little bit, but, like, that's
what this is all about, tangents.
And you know what? I think it was true when the villain had actually said there was a monologue, and they actually even...
Can I read it?
Yeah, here.
Yeah, okay. So this is the... Just so if... For context purposes, the screenslaver villain who uses visual aids to hypnotize people and put them in a trance and to get them to do what... the screenslaver wants them to do, which is, again, a commentary on our intake of media. It says this, superheroes are part of your brainless desire to replace true experience with simulation. Every meaningful experience must be packaged and delivered to you to watch at a distance so that you can remain ever sheltered, ever ravenous consumers. I'm reading that from theguardian.com. They had an article discussing the villain and kind of what the premise of Incredibles 2, the commentary that it has. So yeah, going along with what you were saying, we like the we want so much real life experience that we're constantly watching everybody live their life, but it's so simulated.
Well, I think it was even within that same monologue there where they basically say, you know, you think you're traveling and seeing the world watching other people's photos and this and that, but you think you're exploring the world from your couch.
Right.
Like, that's not real life.
Right.
And no. I feel that we're all pretty much guilty of it. And you can't help but step back and look at and hear a statement like that and be like, hey, that's some truth right there.
Right, yeah. And you know what? I agree with that.
I agree with everything that was said in the movie.
Wholeheartedly. And I think we're all... I don't even think anymore you could say that people are addicted to their phone. I just think that we've been conditioned to not be able to live without it. Like,
well, that's what I'm saying. So that's how the green pea thing happened, right?
Right.
Because now if my card doesn't work, well, now I'm only forced. My only other option is to give up my information.
Right.
So that I don't have to pay the consequences of not having followed the rules.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But now I'm just a part of the system.
Yes.
Without my even... Like, of course, my mind was racing. I'm like, I don't want this thing, but I have no other choice this time.
I think, too, we don't realize it, but the credit card in and of itself can do that once, because you've always seen, like, you use your credit card to buy it. Why does you use your credit card? Now they can track us, right?
Dude,
but now
you take
the next
photos.
Level. Yeah.
And that's it. There's
as you
recognition.
Take a photo, the thing comes up of location.
No, man. Like, I think, aren't there phones out there that they just sees your face and it unlocks?
Yes.
You know, some phones out there, that's a fingerprint. Like, at the end of the day, we, big brother, little brother or big brother?
Big brother.
It's the big one. It's the big brother that's taking over, and we're in for it in a couple. I'm convinced. Like, things are going to get very interesting. And I think there was commentary in this movie that I do agree with. That being said, and again, I think it is, you're not too young to become aware and learn of what's going on around you in your society. But at the same time, I was kind of like, we're going at this right now. Like, I was hoping to step away from that.
Yeah,
so the same things I liked about it was kind of the same things I was kind of like, I'm tired. I wanted to laugh, and not that I didn't.
It was a lot of but I think that's the thing, right? Is that in these type of movies, they're able to send a message in a way that is pointed, but also it's lighthearted, where you can digest it.
It's palatable.
Yes, exactly. You hit the nail on the head there. Like, they've seasoned it so that you can take it in. Because you got the Edna character who makes the superhero costumes. When she shows up, like, it just laughs the whole way through every time she's talking. You know, seeing the kids' interaction with their dad and the the baby Jack, or was it Jack?
Yeah.
Yeah. Seeing him manifest his powers and being like so much stronger than all of them, but he's in such a small package. Like, it's so fun. It kind of brings you back. Those moments bring you back to like the Bugs Bunny era of cartoons, where mishaps and.
I like when Bob was like, "When did they change math?"
Yeah. Right?
That's my question every day. Since I was like 5.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's true.
Yeah, they took some real life antidotes and kind of like implemented it and how it affects a family with these special abilities. Yes. And made something light of it. Yeah. Which was enjoyable. I like that. I like seeing the family dynamic, or Violet having her teenage breakdown of, I denounce superheroes and yeah. I hate everyone and all that business. And Dash kind of like, what's up with her? It was a fun movie all around. It really was. But like I said, sometimes it was a little too heavy for me. And I was just like, I was hoping to step away from that.
So you like The Incredibles.
Yeah.
You would watch, if there was a Netflix-esque series of like a 10-episode season of The Incredibles that was of this caliber, would you watch it?
Of this caliber?
Yeah.
Of course I would.
So, with having said that, seeing as this model of superhero storytelling is taken from, really, the Fantastic Four,
ugh.
Would you ever read a Fantastic Four comic book? Not a movie, a comic book, since it's basically The Incredibles. Basically. Not exactly.
I don't know.
Interesting.
Right?
Yeah, that's why I posed it that way. Because I was watching this, I'm like, they do such a good job at taking all of the superhero tropes and making it work for a Pixar movie. Character development. Like, I'm surprised Disney's never made a comic book of The Incredibles. Directed to that age of, you know, from a 5 to 12 age bracket, where they can do really strong, good storytelling.
Hmm.
It would just make sense. But is it because there is the Fantastic Four that haven't had a comic book for the last couple years? They're coming back this summer, which is a big, huge deal, right? First time in years. So I wonder what that would be like, if it could maintain that sort of... It's such an interesting world, but does it already exist in comic book form? That's why I posed it. Like, would you read these stories? Because I think it's... They're great. The Incredibles. But they're essentially Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're not buying into it.
I don't know.
You
I think they've attempted the Fantastic Four too many times, and it's flopped too many times for me to think that there's any...
Hope.
Yeah, any hope for them.
Not even
them.
For comic books?
Hey, man, I don't know. I don't read Fantastic Four. I don't know.
I took, would you give it a shot? Would you do a book club of a Fantastic Four book like you did with Squirrel Girl?
Hey, man.
How's that coming along?
Hey, Becky? Man. I'm reading it. I'm just reading it at a slower pace than most. We all have different levels.
Yeah. That's hilarious. Look at that swan floaty device.
That's huge.
I want it.
That's just too... It's too...
flamboyant?
Yeah, it's too much. Like, if you wanted that, like, go, like... Don't go swimming. Like, get on a boat. When it's that big.
It's complete with wings and everything.
Get on a boat? You clearly don't want to touch the water with that.
Which floaty device would you go for? If you had one.
Just the simple, flat one with a little pillow at the end.
You just want to recline. Like, you want to relax.
I want to relax. And I don't want to share it with nobody.
Room for one. I was just going to say, room for one.
That's it. They don't gotta gotcha. Be fancy. Gotcha. Like, there's this whole thing now. Like, floaties are a big thing this summer. They're all over social media. Like, there was one about unicorns. The latest one was a pink coffin. Like, come on now.
A pink coffin?
That's are we really making a statement on the water, too?
Yeah.
Ugh.
What did you think of the action sequences?
I miss movies like Dumb and Dumber. Like, sometimes you just want to be stupid for a minute.
Great movie.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of Dumb and Dumber, but you know how, like, you just want to not think. Like, you just want to relax. You want to just take it easy. You want to just go with it.
Got you.
And everyone's got something to say all over the place.
As we sit here at the beach with microphones recording.
I know.
It's funny.
That's terrible.
What did you think of the action in the movie?
Excellent. Yo, there was a disclaimer being like, if there's too many lights, then you might shake a little. Yeah. So beware.
No, it was a ton of fun seeing Elastigirl, like, do her Spider-Man through the city. There were some scenes where you're just like, this is almost better than the live action stuff.
And she was really cool.
Yeah, she was super cool. And then seeing the team come together at the end, when they were, you know, just... You were on the water, you were in the air, seeing everybody's powers come into play, seeing the kids step it up and accept their heritage and legacy of being heroes, and seeing them all use their abilities. We could go on and on breaking down what happens here, there, the other. That's why I won't want to spoil it. I want people to go watch it, because it is definitely
a fun movie.
Yeah. Did you know who the villain was going to be?
I suspected it was the corporation people.
Uh-huh.
I didn't suspect that it would be the... who it was. I don't want to spoil it. You say you don't want to spoil it? I wasn't going to suspect who it was going to be.
I had an inkling that it was going to be that person, just because of the little red herrings that they put in, like with the names, and you know, you could kind of, if you look at the names in a certain way, you could kind of see the clues.
What they were insinuating?
Yeah, like the insinuation, the cleverness behind it. But no, it does throw you for a little bit of a loop. But if you, the more and more you read.
You thought the reasons for that person being a villain was weak?
No, I didn't think it was weak. I think it worked out well.
All right.
Yeah, you thought it was weak?
I thought it was a little petty.
That's usually the case with villains, though. Villains are petty, right?
I'm like, what did you want?
Yeah.
Like, okay.
What's your end game?
It was an unfortunate thing that happened.
Yes.
But there's no guarantee that it wasn't gonna happen the way it did had it been handled differently. You're just looking for reasons to be upset.
Right.
And I think that's today's world too, right? Everyone just wants to be angry about something.
There you go. You're breaking it down really well. I like it. What would you rate it out of 10 incredible thumbs?
You know, I think I'm gonna give it I was gonna give it an 8. I think I'm gonna stick with my 7.5 feel.
What made you bring it down to 0.5?
Well, because I still feel that it was like this. It was a lot of.
You got a claw up in the air right now. Like, just, you felt that there was a definite agenda of what they're trying to say.
Yeah.
Okay. So you felt heavy-handed.
Heavy-handed. It was heavy, yeah.
Okay. I'll give it the 8 to 8.5, just because it's it lived up to the hype. I really enjoyed it. I think I'll enjoy it more off of subsequent watches. I like the role reversal of seeing Elastigirl
kick butt
instead of it being the typical, you know, the guy is a superhero and all of that sort of thing. It was everything that you expect from an incredible movie, but showing it from the opposite perspective, which I think is good. You get if you put those two movies together, you get a full character development of everybody, which I like. And Samuel L. Jackson is awesome.
He's a fanboy, hands down.
I just want to see him in the DC movie now. He's been in everything else.
Yeah.
Star Wars. Marvel. Incredibles. Snakes on a Plane. I'm trying to think. He was.
What was it? Mr. Glass?
Mr. Glass.
In Unbreakable.
That's right. I know I'm missing something, but he's been in just about everything. Just now, he just needs a DC movie under his belt, but I don't know if that's allowed. If there's like some sort of contractual thing. Technically, he's dead, right? The Marvel Universe. Spoilers. So, it is very toasty out here. I think I'm going to actually go into the water.
I like it. I love it.
So, this is our Incredible and World Cup wrap-up for episode 125. Thank you, everybody, for listening. You can email us at caveofsolitude@outlook.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Daph J, do you have any final words?
There's a helicopter right over there.
Oh, if I'm able to post this episode and put it up by tomorrow, and anybody hearing this episode hears it tomorrow, This week at Cyber City Comics, they are having the summer sale. Definitely go check it out. Steels and Bathurst, you can't miss the Cyber City Comics up in the sky, because it's on the second level of the plaza that they're in on Steels and Carpenter Road. So go check out the summer sale. It's happening all week. This right now is the week of July 9th. So if I put this out tomorrow, you still have like the whole week to go and do the sale. If you enjoy our show, listen to the Fastball Special with Martin Slam Duncan, because he's going to have some real cool footage coming your way from Montreal Comic Con, as well as Comic Shenanigans, hosted by Adam Chapman. It's a show that I really like. He puts together good product, really great interviews, and comic reviews on the weekly. So this is Eric Anthony. And are you with me still? Are you watching the kid play?
This kid, I think I'll say he's about like 2 years old. He looks like a southerner, like a southern beer belly redneck. Doesn't he look like it?
Yeah, his outfit and everything. He just cannot business with nothing. He's just like, I'm splashing you, I'm splashing myself.
Is redneck the right thing to say, or you don't say that no more?
I wouldn't say that's the right thing to say. He just looks like a kid from the South with a beer belly.
Okay, so what's the term? Is that rude too?
I would just say a southern white kid. I wouldn't call anybody a redneck.
So what? Okay, what is a redneck?
Can we explain? Redneck is a southern white person.
is that someone who's been out in the sun all day?
I think so.
Like they're a farmer?
Yeah, it's that connotation. But they
so all, it's rude.
There's a connotation behind it that insinuates like
a class of person.
Kind of.
Okay, so right. We're not going to say that. I take right. it back. Yeah. He just looks like he should be in a pickup truck in the South with a shotgun above the head, on the top, and a beer out the window.
Describe the redneck.
But he's probably like 2 years old or something. Oh, he looks God. Like a big, he looks like an adult-sized person
in
as a child.
Body. Yeah, yeah, I got you.
That's why it's funny. I'm not trying to offend anyone. I'm just trying to understand. That's why I asked the questions.
It's all good.
Someone has to ask them so then we can all learn together. What's so funny?
Are you going to say goodbye to the listeners?
Goodbye, listeners.
I was saying that I was on the outro and you started getting racial.
I was paying attention to my surroundings is what I was doing. Thank you very much.
I think he's cute, actually.
I didn't say he was ugly. I didn't say nothing like that. I just noticed him.
Yeah.
And that's what I was looking at when you were going on your promotional thing there.
A rant.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Thank you for listening to The Cave of Solitude. We will be back soon.